Welcome to the 10K Collective podcast. Listen, if you want hacks, my friend, I'm afraid you're in the wrong place. Our philosophy has grown out of the 10K Collective London Masterminds. Members, by the way, make between $500,000 and $7 million a year in e-commerce, most on Amazon. Many have doubled revenue in the last 12 to 18 months. If you're that kind of person, this podcast is made for you. We're not puritanical. We use hacks. We just don't think you should focus on them if you're building a real business. Instead, we focus on what's been proven to work in the group. Real brand building, clear strategic objectives, courageous long-term goals, and long-range thinking. If you like that focus, keep listening, and welcome to the 10K Collective. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the 10K Collective podcast, the place to be for six, seven and eight figure Amazon sellers and e-commerce sellers. So we've got the amazing Kevin King with us. Kevin King is a seven figure Amazon seller, has been selling online since the mid 90s, been selling on Amazon since the early 2000s, and just generally knows just crazy amounts about Amazon selling and is very, very expert. So Kevin, warm welcome to the show. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Michael. I'm glad to be here. Hello, everybody.
Yes, great to have you here. So we're going to talk about a less kind of jolly topic, but one that's just really, really big talking top point amongst the serious sellers who are actually out there every day fighting to keep their businesses working and thriving. And that is the black hat tactics, specifically coming from China. So I thought I'd talk to you about this because I know you did, you've been over in China recently, the Canton Fair, and you've obviously gathered a hell of a lot about this area. So first thing to say is this something that's worth spending much time and thought about this, or is it just one of these things that's overblown by the rumor mill?
No, it's serious. If you're a big seller, it's something you need to sit up and pay attention to because it's going to affect you in one way or another. You know, I like to keep my friends close and my enemies closer sometimes. So I personally do not do any black hat stuff. I've never paid for reviews. I've never done rebates. I mean, that's not even really black hat, but anything like that where, you know, you've PayPal'd somebody back after a full price. I've never even done any of that. But I like to know what's happening. And I've got some friends that are in that black hat space, you know, and they're sellers, or some of them aren't sellers, and they're people that I know. And we talk from time to time, or if I'm in China, there's several different guys. I'll meet with them. There's a couple different factions, you know, there's a couple different groups of these guys, and I'll meet with them. But one of the things that was really eye-opening, I just want to tell you, is I was in China. Yeah, I was over there for the Canton Fair back in April, as I spoke at the Global Sources, and I was at the Canton Fair helping out the China Magic Group a little bit and doing some other stuff. But myself and Brandon Young, he's in the Million Dollar Seller Group, the MDS Group, he and I were invited to speak at an event for Chinese sellers. And over here in the United States, you know, we have these big events like SellerCon, you know, 2,000 people. You know, I do my events with 90 people. You know, there's several events in the UK and in Europe with 100, 200 people. And they happen periodically. You know, there's several different people doing them. But in China, it happens every week. And it's not a few hundred people. The event we went to was 1,300 people. It was on a Sunday. And we were invited to speak, and this event was all about reviews. The entire Sunday from about noon until 6 p.m. was nothing but about getting reviews. That's the entire subject. And then the following Sunday is nothing about brushing or one of the other techniques. But on this particular Sunday, we show up there, and we're like in a little like VIP area, you know, a little side room or whatever. And before it all started, I'm in there with a promoter, and all of a sudden, I hear this loudspeaker and all these people talking. And I was like, what's going on? You know, is the event starting? He said, no, we'll start in just a minute. But what was happening is the Communist Party was there. It turns out that any event in China that has more than 1,000 people, you're required to invite the Communist Party to come and make a talk. So before the event started, you know, over in the United States, we might do our Pledge of Allegiance, or in the UK before a football match, you might, you know, sing something or salute the flag or whatever. But over there, it's these guys come and talk, and it's all about being a good citizen. You know, you need to be a good citizen. If you see someone doing something wrong, be sure to report them and all this kind of stuff. And then there's a big cheer and big, everybody rah-rah. It's almost like a little pep rally. And then we go to the event. The event starts, you know, 10 minutes later, we go in there and these guys are gone. There's 1,300 people in this room. And it's nicely done. The stage is nice. The screens are beautiful, like five, you know, it's something that you'd see like at a big football match or something. These big, huge screens. The host is this really beautiful girl. It's like you're watching a beauty pageant or something that's introducing everybody. And the five or six speakers that spoke, we were the last ones to speak. The five or six speakers that spoke, it was all in Chinese, so we had someone translating for us, were all about getting reviews. Everything was about getting reviews. And this is stuff these people paid the equivalent, it was 30 RMB, which is like the equivalent of about $7-$8, somewhere around in there, to actually come to this event, six, seven bucks to come to this event. So like £4 is what it cost to come to this event. The information that was being shared was information that we in the West and in the US and in Europe pay $5,000 or $10,000 to go to a mastermind to learn. And this was for, you know, just a handful of quid, less than the price of fish and chips or something. And it was just crazy what they were talking about. And so we get up there, and me and Brandon, we spoke. Our stuff was white hat, you know, is using ManyChat, or is mine, in my particular case, is about how to use postcards. And it was super interesting to see. That's the mentality. And so what we did is the next day, we did actually a special little event because they allowed us to pitch something on stage. Said, hey, the next day we're doing an event. It's like $300. Come and we're going to be talking for a few hours, and we'll show you, teach you a few things. We had about 60 people come, and we asked them. We said, when they were there, Brandon said, so how are you guys finding products? And to a T, their system was look at Jungle Scout. Jungle Scout's big in China. Look at Jungle Scout. See what the top sellers are. See what the top 100 sellers are. Go look at the reviews. See if there's something they can fix or how the reviews are for the product. And then go find a factory to make it cheaper. That's their entire process for launching products. They're not using all these tools like we talked about in your other podcast stuff and these methods to look at keywords. They don't care. It's basically top 100. Can they get it cheaper? And then can they use their techniques, Black Hat, to rank it, all the crazy stuff they're doing. They don't care about proper ranking. They don't have Facebook and social media in China for the most part. They don't understand it. I mean, some people have access through a VPN. Most of them don't understand it. They don't care about that. All they know and what they're being taught is this is how you do it. This is how you do brushing. This is how you manipulate reviews. This is how you get 2,000 buyer accounts. They've got the inside SOPs from China. I mean, from Amazon. You know, so they know that exactly where to push the buttons to not leave a review within 14 days, to make sure one account doesn't leave this many over this many reviews. Here's how you get virtual credit card numbers. You need 2,000 different credit card numbers. You know, Bank of America in the US will give you 600 of them. Here's how you do it. You know, all these different, they have all the systems in place to gain the system. And I was in China last October, and one of these guys came over to the hotel at the Four Seasons where we were in Guangzhou. I don't want to name the name, but one of these guys that's he's been in the Wall Street Journal and a few other articles have mentioned his name. And he came and he was talking to a few of us, and you know, he's a little bit nervous at first to talk too much until he got to know some of the other guys in the room. He knew who I was and stuff, but I asked him point blank. I said, "So look, how do we compete against these guys? You know, all they're teaching over here is Black Hat and how to manipulate the system. Why do they do that? Number one, why is that the way?" He said, "Because the mentality over here in China is there's, you know, 1.4 billion of us or whatever the number is. There's a lot of competition. So everybody, it's super competitive, number one. Number two is this, we're a communist country. This is capitalism. So we're kind of riding that edge. China's kind of on that edge of communist capitalism. You know, it's a blend. And they're like, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know that we see an opportunity here to make a lot of money really quick. So we're going to get in and make as much as we can really quick. We're not trying to build a brand. We're not trying to build a long-term thing. If the way to make money really quick is to have 50 different seller accounts and just have burners, and we don't care if they get shut down, we don't care, because we'll build a system to where we can actually manipulate this and actually have enough accounts that we can keep going and we can make the money quick, because we don't know what's going to happen with the US or with the Chinese government. We don't know at some point they're going to start attacking us, make it illegal. The Communist Party is going to do something versus in the UK or Europe or the US. You know, our economies and our governments are a little bit more stable and a little bit more, and they're democratic. So we understand, like, hey, if this business doesn't work today, that doesn't mean I'm not going to be able to do it next year. I'll just have to start over and do it again. We don't worry about that. They're really worried that this is going to go away, or there's so much competition, someone's going to beat them to the punch. Now, all these 1,300 people that are in the room, most of them are working for companies. They're not actually entrepreneurs like me and you putting our own money. Most of those people are actually working for these big companies. And there's probably, I know a couple of people over there, a couple of Americans that live in China and Shenzhen, and they tell me that there's really only about 60 companies that are causing all the problems. And some of these companies have 5 or 10,000 people working for them. They have 5,000 seller accounts. There's one that's doing like $500 million plus per year in sales. Another one that's doing over $1 billion a year in sales. It's got three floors, you know, 1,000, 2,000 people per floor. Each, they got little pods, little, you know, with the little office cubicles and stuff. And each one is responsible for, like, they have an Amazon. It's not just Amazon. They have a group of people that are responsible for five products on Amazon. And then another group of people are responsible for those same five products on eBay. And another group that are responsible for those same five products on Wish or whatever. And it's just systemized. And these guys are willing to work nonstop. I mean, it's called a 12 by 12 by 6 in China. So they work 12 hours per day, 6 days per week. It's 9 by 9 by 6. Sorry, I said that wrong. It's 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., 6 days a week. And they work for peanuts, and, you know, the equivalent of probably 500 to 1,000 quid per month, tops. And they're just like robots. And they have these systems, and they just stay on top of it. And it's crazy what they're doing, you know. And some of them are just launching product after product, and they don't care if 4 out of 5 don't stick, or 4 out of 5 just make a sale here or there. It's crazy what's happening. But at the same time, Amazon is courting Chinese factories. They're going over and saying, "Look, you see that this guy, you know, took a course on how to sell on Amazon. He's coming to you. You know, all he's doing is selling it on our platform. Why don't you cut him out?" As Amazon's reps are saying this straight to the factory owner's face. Why don't you cut him out? We'll help you with the Dragon Boat. We'll help you with incentives. We'll help you with some lightning deals, whatever. Because Amazon is all about giving the customer the best price. And they figure that if they can cut us out of the middle, the markup's going to be less. The customer's going to win. This is causing problems, but that's the mentality. And so that's why Amazon's heavily courting the Chinese. Because if you look at the statistics from, like, Marketplace Pulse that came out about a month ago, or they did an analysis. If you can go to marketplacepulse.com, I think you can see it. They did an analysis, and they said that 40% of all active Amazon seller accounts worldwide are coming out of China, worldwide. 40% are out of China, and most of those are out of the Shenzhen region. I didn't realize this until we spoke. There's four main areas of China where all this stuff is happening. It's Shenzhen's number one, which is not too far from Hong Kong. It's in mainland China, but it's in between Hong Kong and Guangzhou. Guangzhou is where the Canton Fair is. That southern region of it's a big river region. That's where a lot of the factories are. So it's Shenzhen, Guangzhou, the Yiwu area, and Hangzhou. Those are the four areas. It's not really Beijing or Shanghai or places that you might think. It's coming out of mostly four areas where all the factories are, and that's where all these guys are doing the black hat. And it's win at any cost. They have inside information. They can get the reports on anything. You want an ASIN report, know exactly which keywords are competing on anybody's product in any market, you can get it. You want to see the dashboard. I mean, I can log in, like, say Anchor is a big seller of electronics. I want to see their PPC dashboard. I can pay a few hundred bucks to one of these people if I wanted to, and I'll get a CSV file of their entire dashboard of their PPC campaign, exactly what's working, what's not. You want, they got people on the inside. It's not just people in China. They're paying off people in the U.S. too. There's people in Seattle in the U.S. and headquarters that are to helping facilitate some of this, and they can pay them off. You need a seller central account. Okay, it's $15,000. You need some to know the email address if someone left you a one-star review. Okay, give us some money. We'll get that for you. You need to be added to a second category. No problem. We'll do it for you. So they have these, and they're willing to do that. A lot of these guys have, like, multiple seller accounts. There's ways in China to set up these shell companies that they're using. That's just crazy. It's insane. They're doing what's called brushing, where they will go online and order something and have it shipped to somebody's house that didn't even order it, just to get ranking. They'll have it shipped to Amazon lockers. There's Chinese students in the United States, for example, that come over here on a student visa to go to university. There's groups in China that will contact those students and say, "Hey, look, we want you to buy products. You're in the United States, so go on Amazon and buy something, but we're going to tell you what to buy." And they know the pattern, so they make sure that they buy only so much, they review only so much to stay under the radar, and then they pay them back in WeChat, which is untraceable, basically. there's all kinds of things going on. And more, most of the problems are, what you need to understand as a big seller is where most of these problems are in the sub 1,000 BSRs. So if you're selling anything below 1,000 BSR in any category, that's where the vast majority of all this is happening, because they're all looking at Jungle Scout stuff and they're all looking at top sellers, and that's where they're marketing. And they're going after cheap stuff, you know, stuff you can get in for a buck and sell for $9. They don't want to put in, you know, buy some inventory of an item that costs $20 landed and have the risk of five of those units or 10 of those units getting confiscated when their account gets shut down. But if they have, 50 units in an account that cost them 50 cents or a dollar each, if the account gets closed, they don't care. They just abandon them. So that's where the problem is. And as a big seller, you need to understand. And that's why I've mentioned in other podcasts and on yours, Michael, that to stay under $20, I don't like to go under $20. It's because it's where all the nasty stuff's happening. And that's where it's always a race to the bottom. And even some of these factories that are taking advantage of Amazon's courting them, they're getting into the game, but they don't know what they're doing. And a lot of them are actually losing money. So they're putting stuff out on Amazon at prices. Like, sometimes you go on Amazon, like, holy cow, this is less than I can buy it for. And like, how are they making any money? They must be doing a launch. Maybe this is temporary and it's going to be for a week and they're doing some. But no, you see the price there constantly. They have cash flow, but they're not making money. It's because they don't know what the heck they're doing. And they're listening to what's happening in China. And the people that all they teach is black hat. They don't know the proper way to do anything. They really don't. There's just a small handful of them that do. I asked the guy back on that story where he came to the hotel, you know, why do they do this? And he told me, you know, it's because of the number of people and the competitive nature, and they don't know how long it lasts. But I said, so how do we compete? He said, well, stay out of the cheap stuff, number one. And number two, marketing. We can't market. We don't know how. We know how to copy really well, but we don't know how to market. You can beat us on pictures, on differentiation, on innovation, on that kind of thing. We can't. We don't know how to do that. We don't know social media. You know, we're trying to learn, but it's kind of a foreign thing to us. We don't understand it. That's how you compete. And so that's, you got to get out of these commodities and these Me Too products and start getting into more innovative stuff, licensed stuff, patent stuff, stuff that you develop, or go towards the higher end. And you're going to have a much, much less problems and a better chance of success without having to fight all this stuff off.
Wow. Okay. That was quite, the epic view of what's going on in China. As usual with you, is incredibly thorough. And that's kind of amazing and terrible at the same time. But I mean, I guess the simple thing you've done at the end, you've saved me asking the problem of, it was starting to sound a bit sort of suicide inducing for anyone who's a serious Amazon seller, but like, how do we compete? Is number one, stay over $20, and number two, be different. So in a way, it sounds to me like there's just more serious incentive to do what we always needed to do, which is stay out of the you know, the race to the bottom and make sure you're staying innovative and keep marketing. But I mean, it's a very eye-opening thing. So
another thing you can do is not source in China. Their competitive advantage is they can get a 15-20% price difference because they speak the language. They can go down the street. They're right there in the middle of the factories and stuff. They can, and they have the time and resources to do it. So another way you can compete is quit sourcing in China. Start sourcing in Vietnam or Indonesia or Turkey or somewhere else, or sell products from your country. Sell German-made knives on Amazon instead of knives that come out of China. Yeah, they might cost a little more, but the quality is probably going to be better. And these Chinese guys aren't going to compete. They can't. They're not going to do it. All they know how to do it is knock you off. And that's another way that you can compete right there too. It's sourcing differently.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Like I said, too, on the protection side, too, is if I'm of the opinion, as of right now, hopefully Amazon will change this. And I know Cynthia Stein, she helps a lot of people that get suspended. And I was speaking with her about a week ago, and she was like, it's just crazy what's happening. These guys, all this black hat stuff, they're putting people out of business. They're messing with livelihoods. They're messing with families, and they don't care. So she's actually writing a big book that's going to come out in, I think, December about this whole thing. It's not just an article, but a very researched book. She's like, Amazon has got to make change. Some of the people understand at Amazon, but they don't really understand what's happening. They don't understand the depth of it, and they don't understand what's really going on. And we got to make them understand because they've got to fix this problem. So until that problem gets fixed, if you're a big seller and you do not have a Seller Central account, I think you're at high risk. Because with a Seller Central account, you have, at least as of right now, this can change, but you have godlike privileges on Amazon. So that's how they're actually doing a lot of stuff, is these guys have Seller Central accounts. they can go in, they can find what's called zombie listings. So let's say you put out a product last year, you got it up to 100 reviews, did okay, but for whatever reason, it ran out of stock and you decided to discontinue it. Well, maybe you just left that sitting as suspended or out of stock in your account, and you never actually deleted it out of your Seller Central account. They have tools and methodologies to go find those products. And what they can then do, they're called zombies, they will then take them over, and they will use Seller Central, a vendor account to actually take them over, because vendor accounts have high-level privileges. And vendor accounts, as it's set up right now, can go in and mess with any product on Amazon. So they will find these. They will go in and take your old product, your old blender that you were selling, and change the pictures to socks, a pair of socks. The only thing they can't change is the EBC, because you can't do that from a vendor central account. That's only so. If you don't have EBC, if you haven't done that yet, and you're selling third party, get that up right away, because that actually is a level of protection. Because if you do have someone come in and change your pictures, change your copy, change your graph, change whatever, and you have EBC, they can't do it. They can't change it. And so that's a surefire way to show Amazon immediately, hey, look, someone messed with my listing without permission. Look, they didn't even change the EBC. The EBC is for a blender. The rest of the listing's for socks. And Amazon usually will change that back within 24 hours. That's a really fast way to get something changed back when someone messes with you. But they will go in, they'll use vendor central accounts to make these changes. And then they take, that's why you see sometimes a product that's got, you know, 100 reviews that just launched yesterday, a pair of socks, and it's got 100 reviews. You start looking at the reviews, like, these aren't about socks. A lot of these are about blender. They also merge listings, or merge two things together. There's all kinds of tactics and techniques that they're using to manipulate the system. They know how to get lightning deals every single day. It's crazy, because anything that can be programmed can be broken or can be hacked. So they're figuring out all the loopholes in the system. Amazon is closing some of them down, but it's like pop a mole. There's more that are popping up. So it's a major problem, and it's getting worse. Amazon's going to have to do something. There's rumors that Amazon's going to come out with something called One Vendor, where they're going to actually merge Seller Central with Vendor Central. Some people inside Amazon I've talked to deny that, and other people say, hey, we can't talk about it. So to me, I think there's some truth to it. But when that happens, I think that might help solve some of the problem. It won't solve it all. But as a third-party sellers, it's probably going to hurt us a little bit too, because we're probably going to lose control. Like right now, you can go in and do your own bullet points. You can do your own pictures, and usually within 10, 15 minutes, it's live on the site. Versus if you're a vendor, everything has to get approved. So when you make picture changes, it goes through a human eyes and it gets approved. I think everything might have to get approved. So that's going to, in some ways, going to make us play by the rules a little bit more, which could be a good or bad thing, depending on your view on that. But that may be coming, and that may help some of it. But Amazon, you know, different departments are recruiting the Chinese heavily, and other departments are fighting them heavily. So it's because of the way Amazon's set up, the right hand doesn't always talk to the left, and a lot of these guys don't understand. I mean, I was at a licensing show a year ago in Vegas, and the keynote speaker, this was for licensing, a keynote speaker there was from the merch department, which is, you know, where you can do t-shirts and hats and different things, and Amazon prints them for you and send them out. But he made a speech about some things they're doing about merch. It turns out this guy used to be like one of the head vice presidents of several other departments at Amazon. A friend of mine was able to secure a little meeting with him that afternoon. So we went to a boardroom in the Mandalay Bay, and there's about 15 of us Amazon sellers in there, sitting around for like 30 minutes. Just, you know, he just kind of wanted to give us the courtesy of talking to us in private. And he's like, so what are your pain points? And we're like, counterfeiters and, you know, people's messages that are listing and all this. He said, all that's fixed. You know, there's brand registry 2.0 now. That problem, we solved that problem. Everybody in the room just looked at him and looked at each other like, huh, not even close. Problem is not solved. And he's like, what do you guys mean? You know, we've plugged those holes. We're like, no, you haven't. So we started giving examples, and it was just blowing his mind. He just doesn't understand. And the people at Amazon, these people are corporate executives. They're not, for the most part, entrepreneurs. They're not in here in the trenches. They're not dealing with this. It doesn't affect their livelihood. So they really don't understand the depth of it. You know, I just had a guy that took my as a Freedom Ticket course, which is a course for new people. He just gave me a quote last week. He worked for Amazon Spain. He was an account manager, actually, an account rep, you know, like a SAM for Amazon Spain. And he said that his quote that he gave me, he took my course. I don't know how he found it, but he took my course. And he said, after taking your course, or before taking your course, I worked for Amazon as an account manager. My knowledge of how Amazon worked was a 1 out of 10. After taking your course, now my knowledge of how Amazon works is a 7 out of 10. And so that illustrates to a T the point of they don't understand what's happening at Amazon at all. They think they solve a problem and they don't. It's going to be a constant fight. So that's why I'm friends with a lot of these people or know them, is because I need to know, how do I fight it? What do I do? What's my counter to it? Or how do I compete? I'm not going to try to do all this black hat stuff and compete against. That's just, for me, that's not going to work. So the way I compete is, one, I have a Seller Central account to protect myself in case something happens. Knock on wood, it hasn't yet. Actually, it happened one time. I got zombied people took over one of my old dog listings and changed it out. But I don't do anything under $20. I like products in that 4,000 to 10,000 BSR range, the 15 to 20 sell units per day. It's because most of the Chinese guys aren't going to mess with that, because they're either messing with the really big sellers, you know, the stuff doing 50, 100, 200 units a day and up, or the stuff that's really cheap that you can buy for a dollar and sell for $13.99 or whatever, which I stay away from. Or they're messing with really, really long tail stuff. Like some of these guys that have, you know, 3,000 guys, 1,000 people per floor or whatever working for them, their job is to find everything under the sun. And so they're finding all kinds of weird stuff that, you know, sells one or two a day. And that they're playing a numbers game. If we can list a million products on Amazon and every day 10,000 of them sell one unit, we sold 10,000 units that day. And so they're playing that game too. And so I stay away from that. So I go into that range where there's too big, and the reason they do that is because they don't have to have much inventory. And so it's easy for them to do. But I go in that area where it's 10, 15, 20, 25 units per day that are selling. That's the sweet spot for me. And you put together, yeah, one product is not going to, you know, make you a huge amount of money in there. But you put together 5 or 10 or 15 of those. I have 17 active products and I do 7 figures a year. It adds up. And the beauty too is most sellers that are selling privately on Amazon, you'll find they've got one or two products that are like 80% of their business. They got one or two that are just killing it, and then the rest of their stuff is just bringing up the rear. I don't like having that. It's too risky for me. So by having all these products in that 10, 15, 20 units per day sales range, it kind of spreads the risk out. None of my products go over about 20%. I think my best-selling product is 20% of my revenue. And if it goes much higher than that, I will deliberately try to slow it down. I will raise the price or something to try to deliberately slow it down, because it's too much risk. Because if that product goes, 20% of my revenue is gone out the door if it gets suspended or a competitor comes in or something. And so by doing that, that's how you compete. The differentiation is playing in the middle, maybe looking at licensing or product development or the marketing side where you can out-market them.
So there's lots to take in there. So let me just quickly sort of recap.
Sorry, I know I'm just talking. You're not letting you get a word in edgewise.
Hey, man, that's great. This is fine. This suits me fine. I'm normally a person that talks way too much. And I listen back to my interviews and think, shut up, Mike, ask a question. So this is great for me. You're the expert. So a few simple things then. So we haven't got very long on this one. We definitely want to get you back in and talk about this a bit more, but I don't want to spend too long getting depressed. I think the things you're saying is make sure you're careful about zombie listings. So leaving things that are out of stock, maybe we need to be more disciplined, go through our listings and delete them. I was thinking guiltily when you were talking about that, I've probably got quite a few sort of zombie listings from past products that I've just not really had the heart to kill off properly, but I'm not really selling either. So that's one thing. Getting EBC or enhanced brand content as protection, that's a very simple thing for anyone who's brand registered. So you just got to get the trademarks. Anyone serious normally is brand registered these days anyway.
It's not protection. You can still get messed with, but it'll help you get back up faster.
Okay, thank you. So it's not protection. So it's sort of speed of resurrection sort of insurance. I'm not sure how to say that.
Yeah, it's like obvious proof that something was messed with. It's called PDP. It's called product display page tampering. And so like there's like if you ever have that happen to you, to one of your products, and you need to open a case with Amazon, don't just open a case and send in an email or call them and say, hey, someone messed with they changed my pictures, they changed my graphics or whatever. Don't say that. You actually want to drop this. I learned this from the Chinese, the word PDP, like Paul, David, Paul. Tampering, product display stands for product display page tampering. If you drop that in your message, hey, I've got a case of PDP tampering on ASIN, blah 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 blah. If you notice the graphics and the copy and the title don't match my EBC, is for a blender. Everything else is for socks. Please switch it back. They'll know that the person at support goes, oh, okay, he said PDP tampering. I wonder how he knows that, but it doesn't matter. I have an SOP inside Amazon that's called PDP tampering. Here's the steps to do. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They follow that SOP. Boom, you're back up.
Amazing. Great. That's really, really helpful. Because that sounds like it's just one of those things that could happen and just really mess with things. But the other things you're saying is just don't count on Amazon to understand what's going on, which is a very good point. And I guess we've all experienced that at the sort of seller support level, whatever you call it, the people in mostly the Philippines that don't seem to have a clue, really. But it sounds like it goes right the way up the organization. Plus, as you pointed out, the right hand doesn't know what the left hand's doing or is actively fighting it because it's a kind of divide and rule culture, right? So, but the things you're saying about how to keep safe, I guess, is very straightforward, which I want to just reemphasize before everyone sort of jumps off a cliff. Number one, don't sell stuff under $20. I think it makes sense anyway. I mean, it's going to be really thin margins. It's going to be a constant fight. So this just pushes it even further away. The other one is going for a sensible range of BSR or per day unit sales. So if you go for 10 to 20 unit sales a day, that's a sweet spot. Things that sell 1 or 2 units a day, you're kind of inviting odd behavior because mostly the economics won't work anyway. And don't go for things that are so massively visible that it invites bad behavior. So that's my understanding of it. Oh, yes, and diversify your sales. Don't have one product being responsible for all your sales. And that's my understanding of your kind of simple advice. Is that accurate? Any other thoughts on keeping safe?
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. I would add to that differentiation in marketing. Differentiation in marketing and considering doing getting into licensing or patent stuff.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So solutions are a lot of this.
Either stuff that you patent yourself or you can buy things that are already patented and buy the rights to them sometimes pretty cheaply. And then licensing can be a great place too. And I'm not necessarily talking about you need to go out and get a Disney Frozen license or the latest Marvel movie. You know, those are difficult to get. But even just something like as simple as, say, the Royal Air Force or something. You know, I'm sure they probably have a license for Royal Air Force. If you're selling backpacks in the UK or sunglasses or something like that, you know, that's a very competitive space. But maybe there's nobody selling Royal Air Force aviator glasses. If you're able to go to the Royal Air Force, which is probably not a big license, they're not Disney, it's a little bit easier to get if you're new to the space. If you're new to the space, to get a Disney or a big license is going to be hard and require some big upfront fees. But maybe the Royal Air Force is like, yeah, sure, we would love to have some aviator glasses. You know, just give us a few thousand bucks down, and you know, you got to pay us a royalty of X amount every, so whatever the rule is, every month or 2 months or quarter or whatever it is. And you can, we have to approve your design. You know, you can't just do whatever you want, but we have to approve it. And then you come out with some sunglasses that are Royal Air Force, you know, they have the logo on there or whatever. And then, you know, you have a very differentiated product. The Chinese guys can't knock you off. And if they do knock you off, you can shut it down immediately as counterfeit, almost instantly as a counterfeit item. And you have a competitive advantage. So that's another way you can look at things is that can really help too.
Excellent. So like, that's really heartening stuff to end on. I think we'll leave it there because otherwise we could spend all day exploring black hat tactics and getting depressed. But actually, I think it comes down to a lot of the common sense. But it's just, again, the more competitive the space is, the better our business disciplines needs to be, right? Diversifying so we're not over-dependent on a single SKU, differentiation, getting protection, putting a moat around stuff. This is actually good business practice. So as you were saying on the Amazing FBA podcast a while ago, a lot of the time, simple business disciplines are what we need to reach back to. So actually, I think if we stop panicking and start just reaching back to disciplines, sounds like we should be safe enough. So Kevin, thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate your time. And I look forward to getting you back in to talk in more detail about the many, many topics, you know, and also to keep an eye on this and see how Cynthia Stein's kind of wrestling with Amazon's go as well, and keep up to date with all that stuff and your view on it.
No problem. Glad to be here and glad to share a little bit of what's happening out there.
Thanks, man. Good to have you on.
Thanks for listening to the 10K Collective podcast. I really hope you found the show helpful. I mentioned the London-based masterminds we've been running since September 2017. Members of the 10K Collective Mastermind make a minimum of about £480,000 a year, well over €600,000 or dollars. To find out more about that mastermind, go to amazingfba.com/10KC, K for kilo, C for Charlie. £1 million mastermind members make a minimum of £1.2 million a year. That's about $1.5 million US dollars or euros. To find out more about that mastermind, go to amazingfba.com/MPM. That's M for mother, P for Peter, M for mother. Thanks for listening.